Amen. Let's go and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number four. If you come on Wednesday nights or you've been listening online on Wednesday nights, a couple weeks ago, we started looking at things that steal or rob or steals our joy at this time of year or robs our joy this time of year. And actually, it probably began back in the middle of October. We began on Wednesday nights looking at a series talking about being thankful and being grateful and what that really looks like. And we talk a lot about praising the Lord and how if we would learn to praise the Lord, it puts us in the proper perspective, gives us the right type of mindset. And when we come here, there are a lot of things in this world today that will steal our joy away. And during the Christmas season, you would think that it would be one of the most joyous, rejoicing times. In all reality, if you go and you've been around the store very much, or you've been out in the community very much, and even in some churches, you don't see a lot of joy. You don't see a lot of happiness. And that's not the way that God's designed a Christian life to be. And you might think it sounds trivial to be talking about being happy or having a joyful spirit, but that's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's something that is missing so many times in our churches and so many times missing out in the community. I try to be nice to the cashier clerks and different people that at different stores. And sometimes you could tell that people are just, they're miserable. And the reason why is because the people they're working with are not the actual employees, but the people that they come across, they're just many times just don't have any joy, don't have any happiness. And I encouraged your church the last few weeks just kind of be out in the community looking around and seeing what people that you can find out that are truly joyful and happy. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So for me, if I had a life verse, I would say it's Acts 20, 24. I don't want things to move me. I want to have the right perspective of my life. But I also, when I'm doing this work, I want to finish my course and I want to finish my course with joy. It's not something there's too many joyless Christians out there. And I want to have someone that has joy. Even this time of year, when we sing joy to the world, even the angel, when he came forth, angels came forth and talked to the shepherds. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great, what's the next word?
Joy.
And that's what we should. We should have joy this time of year. And that's something that many times is missing. And we looked at on Wednesday night a number of different things that robs us from our joy. We talked about not taking time to develop our personal relationship with God through prayer time and through Bible reading. We talked about having an unthankful spirit, which continues down the road. As we have an unthankful spirit, we begin to think outside God's will. We begin to dream outside of God's will. And we then begin to compare ourselves with others. These are all things that just rob you of your joy. And then you begin having impure thoughts. And as you begin to have those impure thoughts, it's something that we struggle with. And today in Philippians chapter 4, instead of looking at things that rob your joy, we're going to look at things that can help you keep your joy. And we also talked about relationships this past Wednesday night for the most part. Relationships are hard. And here in this passage of scripture, we're going to even look at what it says here in verses 1 and 2. It talks about it inside the church family. But if you don't deal with unresolved conflict, you know what that's going to do? It's going to steal your joy. If you focus on a ruptured relationship, if that's all you can focus on is those that are the negative, those relationships where people do not want to get right, people who do not want to be right to the Lord, don't care about being right with each other, that's something else that will also rob your joy. And then we talked about learning to minister to people. And I've talked about some of the greatest joy I've ever had in my life is when I had the opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. You have the opportunity to truly lead someone to Christ. God uses you that way. That's great joy that happens. And sometimes I think we lose sight of what we should be doing in this world, ministering to others. If we would get reinvested and reconnected into doing the Lord's work and trying to minister to other people, I think we'd have a lot more joy in our life. But when we stop ministering to others and become self-focused and self-centered and have an expectation of what we deserve and what we're owed, that's just going to steal away that joy. So I had mentioned to those on Wednesday nights, I really wanted to do it on a Sunday morning, but the Lord led me to do those first two on Wednesday nights and coming to this spot. I think this is something hopefully that will be a help to you. This is something that a Christian should model, the joy of the Lord. God's designed the Christian life to look like this. God's designed it to be an abundant life. God's designed it for us to have joy. And like I said, we sing joy to the world, but how often do we truly have joy in our heart? Although joy should be the norm for the Christian life, how many times have we gone through days, weeks, months, in some type of funk or some type of just a joyless mode? So often people go through the motions and they feel empty inside and they've done it for so long. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is what it's supposed to look like. But that's not what God designs for us. Joyous living makes us vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. And we must learn to be diligent and not just going through the emotions and being empty inside. We must look at things that rob our joy, but also more importantly, we must look at those things that will keep our joy. Some people's like, it seems kind of frivolous talking about being happy. The Bible talks about being happy. And we talk about our word blessed here. And we get the idea that what does that mean? Happy is the man. And also that Jesus himself said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So it's not just, it's a biblical word, something that Jesus taught all throughout the Bible that we should have joy, even the fruits of the Spirit, what should be coming out of our lives. And as we focus on him naturally, what should come out, it says joy, love, peace, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit. That's what, so don't dismiss this and just say, I can be grumpy and still be right with God. There is something we should desire. We should desire to be joyful. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I know when we talk about those things that zap away our joy, some people say it's burdens of life. Some people say it's the difficulties of life. Some people say it's that person. If that person would just go away, it's not that. It's what happens inside that can come out. It's something that as we draw close to the Lord, it's something that will actually come out naturally. And we don't always connect the dots. And that's what we spent the last couple Wednesday nights connecting the dots. So just because I don't have a good walk with the Lord, how's that going to hurt my joy? Or just because I have this relationship or this problem, how's those things stealing my joy? Psalm 16:11 puts it this way, thou will show me the path of life. It says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. In the presence of God, everything looks different. Everything completely looks different. When you bring something to God, you know what's going to happen? It's going to look different. You're going to respond differently. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So what are you going through today? What is it that has stopped you from being joyful or being happy in Jesus? What is it that you're dealing with today that would not be able to finish your course for joy? And I'd like to spend some time today just looking at some different things I believe that will encourage your joy. At the end of my life, there's a lot of things I wouldn't mind people having a testimony about. But there's one thing that I think I would like for people to say. He loved the Lord, but also he enjoyed his journey. He enjoyed his walk with God. He loved serving God. He loved other people. There was a joy about him. I don't want to be known. I don't think it's scriptural to be known as someone that does not have the joy. And I know we've talked about how some people have a different disposition. Some people have different personalities. It looks different on different people's life. I'm not saying that, not judging anybody at all. You don't have to have a fake smile. You don't have to be super exuberant. And you don't have to be super out there to be joyful. Some of the sweetest people I know have just the joy of the Lord on them, and that's something that cannot be missed. But unfortunately, it's not as regular as it should be in many churches. So as we try to tie in as this Christmas season, then being the pastor for almost 15 years, you have different Christmas messages that are there and go, but this is the first time we've probably looked at this during Christmas time. Where is the joy this Christmas? And that's what is found in Jesus Christ. Let's look here in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14, but we're going to start off with just a few of them. We're going to start in verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech ye, Eutychus and Syntyche. Now, Eutychus and Syntyche is known as two ladies who had a problem inside the church. We're going to, guess, highlight them later on, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. That's God's desire for our church family, that people be of the same mind, same heart, same spirit. And we've looked at that a little bit on Wednesday nights. And he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, which Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. verse number 4, if there was a key verse, it's right here. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's read that all together. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Doesn't say some of the times. Doesn't say that we just have joy in the good times. It says that we should be rejoicing in the Lord always, because it's who we're rejoicing in. It's not rejoicing in the circumstance, it's rejoicing in the Lord. One of the most challenging things in our lives is when things are going hard and when things are going tough, you have a choice. You have a choice to be able to choose to be joyful, or you have a choice to focus on those things that really, truly isn't what God wants us to focus on. So today, do you truly have joy in your heart, in your life? Rejoice in the Lord always. And some people use the excuse, Pastor, I'm going through a really, really hard time. I've learned more in the hard times than the good times. I've gotten closer to God in the hard times more than I'm looking for the hard times, but as Apostle Paul talks about how he's content in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of one, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to abase and how to abound. He's saying, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I don't want to be abased, but I can tell you though, in the difficult times, it's times where you can have the greatest joy because you learn to depend more on the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to him more and you spend more time. I've learned more and drawn closer to God during darker times than I did when time seemed easy and well. Let's look at this in verse number 5. And so the first thing, of the ways to keep your joy this Christmas, first thing is be prayerful. Be prayerful. It says in verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. First thing I want you to think about is to be prayerful. If you really, truly want to have joy in your life, you must be a person that is prayerful. We see what it says in verse number 5, let your moderation, that word moderation there is referring to gentleness. If we would find some believers out there that would learn to be gentle, if we find some believers that would let love, joy, peace, long-suffering to be demonstrated in your life. We live in a very harsh world. We live in a very hard world. We live in a world where it's cutthroat, and many, many people out there are ugly. Many, many people care less about even certain groups of people, we live in a world that's just harsh, but as a believer, we should have the joy of the Lord. They need to meet some people that have the joy of the Lord in their life. They need to meet some people that are filled with the Lord of Jesus Christ and filled with the Spirit of Christ. And they learn how to deal with people gently. They learn how to love people. They learn how to encourage one another. They learn how to help one another. Remember the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, being angry and being ugly, there's a problem with that. There's the things that we should turn away from. There's the things that we should not be doing. And don't get me wrong, I understand there is a time when people have that holy anger, and then we see how the Lord turned the tables upside down and how many, very, very rarely, but he would speak strongly when needed, because that's needed sometimes. But the majority of the time, you saw how Christ responded. And if we would learn to be filled with the Spirit of God, and that this world would see someone that is like Christ, they don't need to see someone like me. They don't need to see someone like you. They need to see someone like Christ. How are you going to get there? You're going to get there by being filled with the Spirit of God and letting God work in your heart and life. If people would meet a Christian that is like Christ, who is meek, who is gentle, who is lowly in spirit, that's something that's attractive. That is something that is beautiful. People are coming to my mind that have that spirit and have that heart, and you want to be around them. There's something different in what this world has to offer, because there's something different that lives in us that this world has to offer. Think about what it says in Mark chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus describes himself and he says, come and learn of me. Learn how I am meek and lowly in heart. Some people look at that, and I've been accused, says that's weakness, that's cowardice. But as Jesus himself is saying, if you will learn of me, if you will learn how to be meek and be lowly of heart, and you will learn to that God's burden, the burdens we have is easy and the burden is light because he's the one carrying it for us. I want to encourage you today, try to be like Christ. Amen. But how do you be like Christ? You got to be prayerful. you're going to have a choice here. What a preacher put it this way, either you're going to be careful, you're either going to be prayerful or you're going to be careful. And that's what it says here in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. That word careful there is talking about being anxious. It's talking about worrying. Some of the music today when they were talking about, we heard a little bit about worrying. And the secret of joy is to understand what's found at the end of verse number 5. And it says, let your moderation be known to all, unto all men. It's saying being gentle unto all men, not just some, not to the people we want to, unto all men. But that next phrase, the Lord is at hand. And I know that there's two schools of thoughts there. There's a and the first one, when I was in the ministry, it's the Lord is at hand. The Lord could come back at any moment. You want to make sure you're right. And that's true. If you're not saved this morning, the Lord could return at any moment. And we want to make sure your heart's right. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to put your faith and trust in him. That's what Christmas is all about. That God became man to die for the sins of mankind. But what encourages me is the second school of thought. And I think, for me, I believe it's what it's referring to in verse number 4. The Lord is at hand. He's there with us. He's always there with us. Think about that for a minute. The Lord is at hand. So I can be gentle unto all men. Why is that? Because the Lord's with me. Remember, the omnipresence of God. If we would learn to live in the presence of God, it would change the way we live. The omnipresence of God and that he is there with us. The Lord is at hand. That is something that is so convicting. I don't want to sin because I don't want God to see that. But also it is so comforting to know that no matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what I'm going through, no matter who is trying to harm me, no matter what anyone is saying, the Lord is at hand. I can let my moderation be known unto all men, even though it seems like others are trying to harm me. I can be worried about it or I can be prayerful. That's what he's saying here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to God. Remember, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. The secret to the joyful life is living consciously in the presence of God. He is at hand. We realize that. And it's not just something that we talk about just, hey, I'm going to get in the presence of God in the morning. No, it's something that we continue. That's what it says in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, not just in some things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's not just real to us in the morning when we meet with him. He's someone that should be real with us all day. We take every issue, we take every problem, we bring it into the presence of God, and it changes the way we look at it. It changes the way we think on it. It changes how we react to others. If we would learn to be in the presence of the Lord, it's got to look a lot smaller. When there's someone that you love that has cancer, you don't know what you're going to do, and it depends on you, guess what? You feel overwhelmed. But when you take that person to the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to realize he's God, and he can cure that cancer if he chooses to. At that moment, no longer is the burden on you. No longer is it something that you have to worry about. Instead, you've given over to the Lord, and you can treat others the right way because God is at hand. He is someone that will take care of us and someone we can trust in. When it says be careful for nothing, that's anxiousness. That's being worked up. And we live in a day today that there are so many people stressed out. So many people stressed out all the times. People's nerves are shot because of the fact that they keep these burdens that God does not want them to carry. That's what he's saying. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, yoke up with me, give those burdens to me. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. People are carrying burdens today that God never intended them to carry. And because of that, they're overwhelmed. Their nerves, they're anxious about everything. They're worried about everything. They're just sitting there and they're letting it just steal away their joy because instead of being prayerful, they're sitting there and they're being careful. And the fact that they're sitting there and allowing their anxiousness and their worrisome sit there and just destroy their joy and destroy their testimonies. Joy of the Lord is my strength. First thing I want you to think about is, are you prayerful or careful? And I know what you're thinking. It's like, we're always supposed to be careful. Yes, but in this idea, are you worrying? Are you nervous? People don't think worry is a sin. But when we don't trust the Lord, it's a sin. You cannot carry your own burdens. The careful person says, I can handle this. The prayerful person says, I can't handle this. I must carry it to the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. But what's the next two words? But in what? Everything, not just some things. And he continue on by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And it says, let your request be made known to God. So there's the word nothing and there's everything there that speaks about, hey, God cares about this and God doesn't care. There is nothing that you should be holding on to. You should be bringing everything to the Lord. What are you dealing today? Bring it before His presence. I tell you, in the presence of Jehovah, everything looks different. In the presence of the Lord, everything looks different. Now, here's the promise that's attached to this. Verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've had people say, Pastor, I'm just losing my mind. And they're not talking about the idea of getting older and forgetting things, because I feel like that all the time. But they're letting their nerves and they're letting their anxiousness get robbed them of their joy. And they're like, I can't do this. And you're at the right spot there. You cannot do this. That's why you must return and give it to the Lord and let Him carry those burdens. Because we live in a world full of people today that is overwhelmed. And God says, and He's made a promise, He shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep on bringing to the Lord. Continue to bring it to the Lord. Some people struggle with this. And I know there's times in my life that I've struggled with many things, but those thoughts are going out of control because of the fact that we're not letting God keep our hearts and mind. We want to focus on, I'm going to keep my mind focused. I'm going to think happy thoughts. That doesn't work. It's when we turn to the Lord and we give everything to God and we say, Lord, here it is. You can have it all. That's when we truly have the joy of the Lord. So the first thing is be careful, be prayerful. Second thing is be thoughtful, be thoughtful. He said, you mean be considerate? That's not what they're speaking about here. It's thinking like God thinks. It's talking about your thought life here. I know what you're going to say, Pastor, you talk a lot about this, about having the right thought life. It's a step further though. Can you really have the right thought life on your own? I've tried really hard. Hey, I'm gonna be happy today. I'm going to have joy today. It doesn't work. But it's when we give our hearts and lives over to the Lord, when we begin to think on the right things, when we begin to think as God thinks. She's like, think as God thinks. Well, He tells us in Philippians chapter number 2. What does He do? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he begins talking about He left the most exalted place in the universe to come to the most shameful place in this world. And he talks about in Philippians chapter number 2, he says, this is the type of mind, says, I want you to think like God thinks when it comes to these things. We truly want our joy. We must learn to be thoughtful, not the idea of being thoughtful of others. Of course we should, but it's designed us for a joyful life. And the way that we're going to have a joyful life is if we know what God wants us to do. Look, it says in verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What you have here is you have what I believe describes the Word of God. It's not striving to have the right thought life. It's more thinking the way that God thinks. This is the Scripture of the Word of God. How are we going to know what God thinks if we're not in His Word? Many people have it mixed up about if you think happy thoughts, you'll be a happy person. You know how frustrating that is? I'm gonna be happy today, even if it kills me. No. Those are some of the most miserable people in the world. Think happy thoughts. No, love the Lord and He'll produce the happy, joyful thoughts in your life. He'll give you what you need. His thoughts are more than our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Your thoughts are not enough. You must begin to try to think as God thinks. Thinking the way that God would want you to think. The only way this is going to happen, the only way it's going to happen is to get into the Word of God. Like I said, there's an eightfold description. We've gone through these before. This is God's Word, the Word of God. You need to get into the Word of God. More importantly, the Word of God needs to get in you. I've heard people, and I know we're coming around the end of the year, and people many times read through their Bible. I think that's really neat. I think I asked somebody yesterday that was telling me that they just hit the book of Revelation. I said, well, how many years have you done that? That's amazing, you know, that I've heard different preachers talk about how a couple of preacher friends of mine, you know, that they read it 3 times a year and they've done it for 30 years. And that's fantastic. One time a year, whatever. It's important to get in the Word of God. The Bible tells that. But it's more important that the Word of God gets in you, because there's a lot of people that can read those words and not let it impact their lives. If we truly want joy in our hearts, if we truly want joy in our life, we must be prayerful, but we must be thoughtful. And what do you mean by being thoughtful? We must have the right thoughts. We need to be thinking on the right things. Now, where in this does it tell us that we're supposed to worry? Where in this passage of scripture does it tell us that we're supposed to focus on ruptured relationships? Where in this passage of scripture does it need to talk that we lick our wounds from the world that's hurt us? And once again, those are all natural, but that's what he says, bring it to the Lord, take it to the Lord, give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord. You say, like, God, keep on giving it to him. I keep on giving it to him. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he says that in verse number 6, and be careful for nothing and everything by prayer. Don't let this rob and steal away your joy. Now, joy is not the goal. It's not the goal of just saying, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to work at being happy. I'm going to be joyful, even if it makes me miserable. No, it's about saying, I want to get happy in the Lord today. I want to, my end goal is to know God and to love God and to be spirit filled. And what's the natural thing that happens from that is the joyful life. The love, the fruits of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace. It's not something we can work up. It's something that naturally comes out as we learn to be prayerful, as we learn to be thoughtful and we think on the right things. And look at the promises attached to that in verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I love that thought and the idea, just don't think it, do it. Don't get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in you. This is the God of peace making us a promise. He's saying he will show up in your life and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace will show up in your life when you learn to do the things that you know is right. So God shows up in the scriptures. If you want to stay happy or be joyful in Christ, you must stay in the Word of God. You must be thinking right, because if not, it's going to steal and rob your joy. Just a few more, and we're just going to highlight these. The next thing is be a peacemaker. If you want more on this, you should go back and listen to last Wednesday nights, because we spent a lot on unresolved conflict, how that just robs your joy, and how rupture relationships, talking about as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. Talking about sometimes, and that might not have been an exact quote, but it talks exactly about how sometimes certain people do not want to be right with God, and when they don't want to be right with God, why would they care about being right with you? And sometimes we let people's reactions and how people treat us demonstrate and just rob, steal our joy. And is that hard? It is hard, especially if you live with the person. It seems like it's overwhelming, but we must trust what God says here when he says that the peace of God, he's going to be able to keep your heart and mind. And here in verse number 9, if you think the right things, he's saying that the God of peace will be with you. There's a connection that the peace of God and the God of peace, he's the only one that can bring that peace. And it's something we must remember. But one thing we must learn to do, if we want to have that joy, we must learn to be a peacemaker. Not just be prayerful, not just be thoughtful, but here, what's he talking about in verses 1 and 2? He talks to them about the church. In verse number 2, he goes to these two ladies. Can you imagine that? Your name being written in the Bible and preserved in the Bible for all generations, that you were causing problems in the church? Wow. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want my name written down to say, hey, Brian Pease and whoever, you guys need to get this right. You need to get it worked out. There's more important. I wonder what they were to write about us. Remember that the letters to the churches of Revelation, and we looked at all those different churches. We spent time looking at that. What would they write about us? What would they write about our church? What would they write about you? And it's a powerful thought, but they're there. And he says, look, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's what he desires. He wants us to be of the same heart, the same mind. You have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you. This should be your goal. This is what you should work at. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. Is it going to take away your joy if you don't do it? Yes. We must learn, if we truly want to have that joyful spirit, we want the fruits of the Spirit, everything's got to be on the table. If you want to say joy to the world and sing joy to the world, you know what the angel said, glad tidings of great joy. If we truly want to be joyful, we must learn to work on our relationships with others. God intended the Christian relationships to bring joy into our lives. Didn't intend it for it to be miserable. But how many people are we miserable when we see them? Oh, that's sad. We should pray for that. We should work on that. That's not the way God wants a church to be like. Now, I understand there's immature believers in church, and there's more people that have been saved longer, maybe more mature believers. Be growing in your faith. Be praying for one another. And there is a whole Bible filled of one another's in the Bible, how we should be treating each other as a church family. So be a peacemaker. Remember, we went through the series with our Blessed series, Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Not the peacekeepers. So many people go around and say, well, if we do this, then maybe they won't get mad. And if we do it this way, then maybe, and once again, we should be gentle. As we mentioned earlier, let our moderation be to all men. I understand all that. But at the same time, what do we learn about the peacemakers when we introduce them to the peacemakers, when we introduce them to God, when we introduce, that's when the only time they're really, truly ever going to have peace is when we bring them to the Lord and Savior and show them and give them direction and leadership there. Be a peacemaker. Life in many times is about relationships. We should strive to be right with one another. Deal with unresolved conflict, no matter how difficult it is. Do not shy away from it. Do not run away from it. I understand a period of prayer and fasting, but if it lasts longer than a few days, we need to let the Lord say, here's my life, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do. Unresolved conflict, failed relationships, it's a struggle. But at the same time, we cannot let these things rob us from our joy. And that's why many Christians are unhappy inside churches, because the relationships with other people inside the church. Last but not least, not just be prayerful, not just be thoughtful, not just be a peacemaker, be content. Be content. And we're not going to spend much time here, but I just want to, Christmas time, it's amazing how it seems like those things that we should be most rejoicing and talked about the greatest gift, but at Christmas times and Thanksgiving times, it seems like that's the least time that we're thankful and contented with what we have. The world has made it, you need to have this. They put the commercials out there. They've taken Thanksgiving and made it Black Friday. They've done all these things to tie it out there, to try to get you to be unthankful for what you have and think that you need more. And the Apostle Paul tells them this in this wonderful way. And we might finish this on Wednesday night. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, in verse number 11, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I want to be full more than I want to be hungry. But Paul's saying he's willing to be content both to abound and to suffer need. Of course, I'd rather abound than suffer need. Let's read verse 13 all together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's a great verse. We love to say, this is my life verse. But what context is it in? It's about being content. If we would learn to be content, that will change the fact that how many times what has stolen away our joy? It's a fleshly desire. It's, I'm not content wherever God has me. I got to go somewhere else. I'm not content with this. I'm not content with what I have. But in that, we love to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We like to use that. We see that all over, plastered everywhere. And there's plenty of applications you can make. But in the context of the scripture here, it's referring to the fact that I can learn to be content with what God's given me. Something that will rob your joy is when you have impure thoughts, as we talked about, feeling like you're owed something, when God doesn't owe us anything. We should learn to be content with where he has us. Why is that? Because it's found in verse number five. The Lord is at hand. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you need. Trust in him. Trust in him with your life. This morning, how to keep your joy. Be prayerful. Be thoughtful. Be content. Be that peacemaker. The greatest peace you can know, the only peace that you can truly know, is what comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If there's joy that's missing in your heart and life, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that's because you have a sin problem. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for the sins of mankind, to give you away an opportunity. It's understanding that you're a sinner and that you're lost because of your sin, and believing and trusting and turning to God and what he has done for you. And to many, I've heard your personal testimonies, and I know that some people confuse in their personal testimonies, not sure if they're really truly saved. Get that right today. But to many in the room that I've heard your testimonies, are you joyful today? This is not something that's going to change overnight, but this is something you can make a decision that can begin to change today. And it's taking it step by step and moment by moment. Learning how to be prayerful, learning how to be thoughtful, learning how to be a peacemaker, and learning to be content. We talk about all those things that have caused us to lose our joy and rob our joy. Let's learn how to keep our joy this Christmas. Hopefully you can say, I have joy this Christmas. And I'm not talking about joy that comes and goes, because that's what most people have. They love the thrill of the moment. They love the fact that something great and wonderful happened. There's an excitement. There's a high. There's a joy that's happening. this is a constant thing. This is a fruit of the Spirit that you should be seeking. This should be joy in your life and happy. Happy are you if you do them. And these things should not be robbing you and stealing your joy. Instead, this Christmas, let's strive to be joyful Christians. Let's pray.